case, which is United States versus Webster. Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Matthew Robinson on behalf of Chavez Webster. Very simple argument today. It starts with the interpretation of Section 3553A factors with respect to downward departure motions from the government. We submit that when a district court declines to grant the full departure requested at a Rule 35 hearing, that the record must demonstrate that the court's decision was based upon 3553A factors and that the sentence finally imposed is no greater than necessary to achieve the goals of sentencing. Not asking for a further departure.
Isn't that contrary to our decision in the Shelby case?
I think it's exactly what the Shelby case says. The Shelby case limits the ability for a court to go below what is requested by the parties in a Rule 35, and that you cannot ratchet down, so to speak, to use Sixth Circuit language.
We said the judge doesn't have to redo the whole sentencing.
That's correct.
Doesn't have to, right? Doesn't have
Absolutely
to do a
correct.
Completely new sentence. Just consider the substantial assistance.
That's absolutely correct. But when there is a request made on the record with respect to the length of sentence that should be imposed on, after a Rule 35 motion has been filed, if the court declines to grant that motion entirely or declines to grant the extent of departure requested, then that decision needs to be tied to 3553A factors.
I don't think that's right. I think it just looks to see, is, you know, X months the right compensation for this substantial assistance? Regardless of what the sentence is that little reward appropriate? That's quite different from saying, well, now I've subtracted X months, and this is what the sentence is. Now I'm going to see whether the sentence comports with 3553A, right? That's a very different. That's a resentencing, which is different from just evaluating the government's argument that this should be the discount.
I agree with you, and I'm not saying anything different than that, Your Honor. I guess the confusion is not with respect to this is not the first of all, let me back up and state some facts about the case. The government filed a motion for Rule 35 based upon the defendant's substantial assistance after he had been sentenced. No request. Initially, when I read it, I thought it was a 10-year sentence request from the government, and that was a typo in their motion. However, there was no request made by the government in terms of how much the court should reward the defendant.
Was a difference in the Shelby case, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you raised this 120 months, that was before the Rule 35.
That's correct. The defense counsel asked for...
That was just your initial position.
The defense counsel initially requested...
Didn't have anything to do with the help that you gave.
That's correct, but those factors are still... Look, the defense counsel requested a sentence of 120 months at the initial sentencing hearing. At the Rule 35 hearing, counsel related back to those arguments. And asked for a sentence.
About 120 months?
He didn't use those exact words, Your Honor. He said.
That's your problem. You see, she gave him a 4-year discount for the substantial assistance.
Yes.
And what you want to do is go back to your 120 months mm-hmm. and have a resentencing, right? Whereas all she had to do, it seems to me, was say, I mean, what she did was a little mechanical, right? She added 216 to 120 and divided by 2. That's a little mechanical. But it is a very large discount. It's 4 years off for the substantial assistance. And is there really anything more that one could say about this? And she doesn't have to go back and you know, say, well, 120 months, I'm going to reconsider that. Maybe I should start there rather than with 216.
And let me just add to that, and there was no specific request then after the Rule 35 was filed for 120 months. Is that right?
I would say that there was a request. He didn't use the word 120-month sentence.
But since this was all about sentencing and reducing, and 120 was the number before, I mean, you would think that there would be a specific request by defense counsel for 120 months. I'm just saying that 120 months was not mentioned when she did the resentence.
Right, and I would say that goes to the brevity of the hearing, obviously.
No, you can't just put it on the brevity of the hearing. It doesn't take a lot of words to say we'd like 120 months like we requested originally.
Those exact words weren't spoken.
Add on what Judge Posner was pointing out, I think that needs to be addressed as well.
Well, I would submit that the record, if you from the four-page resentencing hearing, establishes that counsel talks to the court about the motion that he filed originally. Mm-hmm. He said, I know, Your Honor, you have read the sentencing transcripts and the memorandum that I filed originally, and we would resubmit that a departure as low as possible, I think were the exact words referenced by counsel, instead of 120 months. My position or our position would be that referring back to the original arguments, which were based upon 3553A factors, had nothing to do with the guidelines or a mechanical application of the guidelines, had to do with post-defense rehabilitation and other items.
48 months is too short, too small a discount.
Well, why do I think that? Well, one, I don't know if I'm in a position to make that to answer that, but because it's based on a lot of personal feelings I have about the sentences of inmates. But with respect to this particular case, I believe the proceedings were procedurally unreasonable in how the
I don't understand you.
Well, I'm using a phrase out of the Gall case, obviously, and when I'm talking about procedural unreasonableness, the court has to tie its sentencing decision to 3553A factors. It never happened.
You're asking for a resentencing.
No, even within the context of a Rule 35 decision.
I asked you, why is 48 months too short?
Well, the defendant himself has engaged in substantial rehabilitation while he's been incarcerated.
That's what you're doing. You're getting away from the question, is 48 months a proper reward, to whether 168 months is a proper, or whatever it is a proper sentence. So you're asking for resentencing.
I'm not asking for resentencing. I want to make that very clear.
Factors that have nothing to do with substantial assistance. He could be totally rehabilitated and have rendered no substantial assistance, or totally unrehabilitated but rendered tremendous assistance.
That's correct. But the difference is, within the context of determining the extent of departure based upon his substantial assistance, if the ultimate sentence is less than what is requested, then the court just simply needs to explain why the sentence doesn't fulfill the goals of sentencing.
I ask you why you think 48 months is too little. You go back to factors that have nothing to do with substantial assistance.
But that's not what all that decision is based upon, even under Shelby. The decision to deny or...
Once the government asks for this discount, recommends a discount, the judge resentences the guy, considering all the 3553A factors. Well, that's what we said the judge doesn't have to do. That's what we said in Shelby. The judge doesn't have to resentence.
Right. Unless there is a request for a lower sentence, that the court...
I mean, I'm looking at the transcript. There was an opportunity to raise some of those other factors. I understand that, you know, the court said, do you wish to say anything else? No, the motion I know the court remembers what happened before, and then when the whole discussion, it was just so I asked the court to give as large a departure as possible. 216 months is still considerably long. You know, he's a young man. You know, he could be successful once he's out. I follow all that. I'm just saying if 120 was a magic number, 120 should have been stated then. That was the time to say it. And there was no bar to say, and the court will recall, here were his personal circumstances, and we went over those personal circumstances before, and in light of the fact that he's given so much assistance, you know, we go back to our original position, 120 months. The thing is, you know, you can't assume that. I mean, I know the court reviewed, you know, the PSI before, but to assume that she went back and looked at the sentencing transcript before, or that even if that she remembered all the nuances of the case, you know, this is a busy district court judge. You know, and I would just say from my experience as a district court judge, with the number of sentencings you have and the Rule 35, I mean, it seems to me counsel has some obligation to, if you think those factors were important and should have been a factor and more than just the downward departure, because in this sentencing transcript, the counsel talks about all the proffers that they witnessed, which go to the issue of cooperation. So.
I see my time is up, Your Honor.
Respond?
Yeah.
Well, my response to that, Your Honor, is I recognize that that is a weakness in the case, that the exact words were not spoken. But I do believe the record is clear enough, based upon the references back to those other items, that a request, although not explicitly, a request for 120 months was renewed.
I have a different concern, which is you're not going to have as many substantial assistance motions under your position, because the government is going to say, look, if I ask the court to give this guy a break because of his substantial assistance, the judge can go back to ground level and resentence the person and give him much less, wholly unrelated to substantial assistance.
I believe that may be a concern.
Be a second judge because the first judge had retired.
I believe that may be a concern, but I think the government's concern with solving other cases overrides any type of an extra year or a little bit extra argument during a resentencing hearing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Robinson. Mr. Connell.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Paul Connell. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney in the Western District of Wisconsin. I was responsible for the prosecution of Mr. Webster and was the attorney for the government at his motion hearing. I don't have a lot to add in light of the court's questions to appellant counsel. There was no specific request here made. I don't know what as large a departure as possible means. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it meant to Judge Crabb. Maybe he was asking for probation, which would be ridiculous. But at the end of the day, Judge Crabb had the motion before her that set forth Mr. Webster's cooperation. Though not required to do so, she did touch at the Rule 35 hearing that 168 months was reasonable and no greater than necessary, and she touched on some 3553 factors as to how she arrived there. So there was no error, procedural or otherwise. And unless you have questions for me, which I'm happy to answer, I would just rely on our brief and ask you to affirm the sentence.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Cullen. We thank Mr. Robinson. And you were appointed, were you not? You were not? Oh, okay. I thought you were. But anyway, we thank both of you for your efforts.